discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell.
Amy Peterson grew up reading the great missionary stories, the adventures of Amy Carmichael and Jim Elliot, and she longed to someday reach people that same way. By the time she graduated college, she was ready to set the world on fire. She traveled to Southeast Asia to teach English and to share Christ privately. In her time there, Amy saw miracles and heartbreak. In an unforgettable journey, she learned that surrendering to God was far more important than anything that she could do for Him. And Amy has penned an extraordinary book about what she's learned called Dangerous Territory, My Misguided Quest to Save the World. Welcome to the show, Amy. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Let's go back to the point when your interest was first stirred in this missionary work. How young were you and how passionate did you become about this?
I think I was first interested in missionary work really in elementary school when I read missionary biographies of people like the ones you mentioned, of Amy Carmichael, Gladys Allward, Jim Elliot. And I found their stories to be so full of adventure. And not only that, but I think I was hearing in the church at that time and then later in junior high and high school too, that kind of the most spiritual people, the real heroes of heaven, were missionaries who went overseas. And of course, you know, I wanted to be one of the most spiritual people. So if the choice was between an ordinary Christian life or a really heroic Christian life, I wanted the heroic Christian life. And what I read in the missionary biographies seemed to show me that that was a possibility for me. So, I think that's when it first got started.
You communicated your heart for this really well, I thought, in the book, because you talked about this real, real strong feeling that you had that you didn't simply want to leave a conventional life and have the house in the suburbs and have the mortgage. There was this part of you that just had this wanderlust, as you called it, and you wanted sharing your faith to be a part of that, but it was a very strong feeling that kind of leaps off the page.
Yeah, I mean, I think I had a lot of motivations, and one of those motivations was just like, it's in my personality to want to travel and have adventures and be independent, and it's part of my personality that I want to achieve and achieve great things. But then I think there was also something that was really just a sincere desire to serve God and to serve God wherever He wanted me to serve Him. So, yeah, I think there were several motivations mixed in.
One of the real headlines, of course, of the book is that throughout the story, you can't actually mention the name of the country where you served. And that's one of the most fascinating parts of it. But let's talk first about the missionary myth. You talk about this a good bit in the book, and you interweave the tale of the 18th century missionary David Brainerd. What is the missionary myth?
Yeah. So as I was writing my story down, I came up with a lot of questions, and I was curious, how does my story fit into kind of the larger history of the American missionary movement? And also, how does my story fit into the larger genre of the missionary biography or the missionary memoir? And so in my research, I found that probably the first missionary memoir to be a big hit was the Diaries of David Brainerd. And David Brainerd was a missionary to Native American people for 3 years. And he was largely ineffectual and sickly, and at the end of 3 years of missions actually became very ill and then died. And when he died, he was staying at the house of the preacher Jonathan Edwards, who is famous still today for his sermon Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God.
Yes.
And so David Brainerd died at his house, and then Jonathan Edwards collected Brainerd's diaries and edited them and wrote an introduction and published them. And that became the most popular of all of Jonathan Edwards' published works.
Yeah.
And Christians across America were really inspired by this story of David Brainerd, and he became kind of like this frontier hero saint, and stories, you know, grew up around him, like that snakes would refuse to bite him, mm-hmm. or that he couldn't walk because his knees were so sore from bending in prayer for hours.
Yeah.
And so that is where I see the idea of the missionary myth beginning, was with this story of David Brainerd as kind of a super spiritual Christian and a missionary held up as sort of the ideal heroic missionary. And in fact, like the next generation of missionaries to go out from America had read David Brainerd's diaries and were often inspired by them. And sometimes if you read their diaries that they kept, you'll find that they're even writing, like, I hope that someday people will read this diary like they read David Brainerd's
Whoa.
Diary. So it's like a very direct influence.
That's fascinating stuff. We're talking with Amy Peterson, the author of Dangerous Territory, My Misguided Quest to Save the World. Obviously a very provoking title and a fascinating story. So we are almost to the point now where you head to Southeast Asia, to the country that you still to this day can't name. You went to school first, of course, and you went to school, I believe, for English literature. Did you have in your mind that you wanted to do this so that you'd be able to teach English as a second language? Were you strategizing already at that point?
No, definitely not. I studied English literature just because I loved literature, and I really had no idea what I wanted to do with it. As I approached graduation, you know, I thought maybe I should go to grad school. Maybe I should try to work for a publisher, be an editor. And then my third thought was maybe I should do missions for a year or a few years first. And actually, when I was in high school, I had like prayed and promised God that at some point I would spend a year serving him overseas. And so as I approached graduation, I just thought, let's just do that one now. My church had a missions fair, so I looked at a bunch of organizations and chose one that I liked because they were very professional, and the organization I chose, I also don't name in the book for safety reasons, but they sent Christian English teachers into countries that were mostly closed to the gospel, countries where it was forbidden to evangelize, and they did a really good job of like being honest with the governments. Yes, we're sending Christian English teachers, and also of training the teachers. So I was able to get like a tuition-free master's degree and training in teaching methods before I went.
Man, now as you set off on this journey, of course, they give you training and then you head off to the unnamed country, which, as you said, you can't name because of safety reasons to this day. Talk a little bit about your first impressions there. Was it as you anticipated it would be, or were there surprises around every corner?
Well, before I left, people from the organization had warned me not to expect much to happen while I was there. They said that I was going to a city it was really a small town in a war-torn province, in a very poor area, and it was a place where we didn't know of any Christians or churches. And the organization had only been in this town for 1 year. So they warned me not to expect anything to happen while I was there, not to see any students show spiritual interest. They said that this place was a particularly dark place, or hard soil, they would call it, right?
And you were actually really excited about that, weren't you? That's not the perhaps what.
Yeah, I thought, of course, like that is exactly where I want to go. Send me to the hardest, darkest, most unreached place, because why would I want to go anywhere easy? Yeah. I was thrilled about that, and you know, they said it normally took 3 years of faithful presence in a city before you saw any results or any spiritual fruit or interest develop. But I asked my supporters to pray that by the end of my year there, I would have two or three young women to disciple in the faith. Now, I can't say that I really believed that that was going to happen, but nonetheless, I asked for it. And so I moved into town. I lived in an apartment on campus, and right away, I started loving my life there. My students were fantastic. They were so motivated and curious. I found that I really liked teaching, which kind of surprised me, but I loved making lesson plans. And I mean, it doesn't hurt when your students are motivated and curious. It's pretty easy to love teaching. And really everyone was so hospitable and warm and welcoming to me, that I was just really enjoying my life. And then after I'd been teaching for about a month, one of the local teachers, who was pregnant, fell and had to be put on bed rest for the rest of the semester. And so the university asked me if I would take on an extra class, and I agreed to. And the very first week I taught this extra class, one of the students in it came to visit me in my apartment, and she knocked on my door and she brought some fruit, which was kind of customary if a student came to visit a teacher, they would bring fruit. And so she came in and we sat on the woven mat on my floor and started peeling the fruit, and I was making tea, and she said, "Amy, have you heard of the Backstreet Boys?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, I have." And she said, "Well, do you know Brian and the Backstreet Boys? He's a Christian. Are you a Christian?"
Whoa.
And so this student had been a big fan of the Backstreet Boys, had read about that Brian was a Christian. And I thought that this was probably just a silly, funny question, right, from a girl obsessed with pop music. But actually, it was just the beginning of something much bigger and deeper than that. And this student, I call her Veronica in the book, Veronica kept coming back to me every week with more questions about Christianity. And we started studying the book of Luke together. And her interest in the faith was really actually quite sincere.
That's just amazing. We're talking with Amy Peterson today on the road. Her book is called Dangerous Territory, My Misguided Quest to Save the World. So you saw these surprising joys and such hope of this interest in the gospel, even as you say, are simply going about teaching English and doing the job that you were sent to do well. This spiritual interest just erupts around you. But as you describe, this is not a clean story. As you say, this is a story that gets complicated and that not only includes seeing the miraculous, but seeing heartbreak as well. Can you kind of give us the overview of not only the joys, but also some of the real sadness that you experienced?
Yeah. So Veronica and I kept studying the Bible together. And over the course of a couple of months, she read Mark and Luke and Genesis and Romans and Ecclesiastes. And she was just soaking it all up and pretty soon had decided to follow Jesus and to commit her life to God. And she was telling her friends and family about it too. And so two of her close friends decided to start studying the Bible as well. And I did an introductory study with them on a weekly basis. So after we'd been studying together for several months, I went away for the mid-year break over there. It wasn't Christmas. It was the Lunar New Year. And so I was out of the country for about a month. And before I left, I left my copy of the Jesus film with Veronica. And she showed it to her dad. And her dad said he did not agree with it. But he watched it again, and then he watched it again, and then the fourth time he watched it, he invited the neighbors to come over and watch it with him, and Veronica's dad and the neighbor agreed. It was not true, but the neighbor said the people in his ancestral village did not know this story, and they probably should, and so he actually made a copy of the Jesus film and took it to his ancestral village and showed it to everyone there. So the gospel was just spreading in these really amazing ways. Really, apart from anything I was doing, God was very active and at work and seemed to be answering prayers right and left. By the time I was finishing up my whole first year teaching there, we had four students who had made professions of faith, and then several other students and family members who wanted to join the Bible study and learn more. So as I prepared to return to the States for summer break, where I would be taking grad school classes and reconnecting with my family and my supporters before returning for the next year, as I prepared to return to the States, I gave the girls some Bible study materials and helped them get ready to continue studying and worshiping on their own while I was gone. And then in my first week back stateside, I got a message from Veronica, and she said that the police had found them in their Bible study, and they'd been taken into the police station and interrogated. Their Bibles had been taken away from them. They'd been threatened. They'd been told that if they kept meeting together or telling people about Jesus, they would be kicked out of school. Their parents could lose their jobs. Their younger siblings might not be able to get into the university. And so their faith was really shaken. And my faith was really shaken as well. It seemed like I had gone from God answering all of my prayers in miraculous ways to God suddenly became very silent in my life. And, you know, Veronica was standing firm, and she was committed to standing firm, but she had questions too. And one of the hardest questions she asked me was, does God love America more than he loves my country?
Wow. What did you say to that?
I don't remember what I said to it. I remember the question.
Oh man.
You know, it's a hard question. I mean, obviously no. God does not love America more than he loves her country, but it's complicated and mysterious.
If you're just tuning in right now, this is the voice of Amy Peterson. She's authored the book Dangerous Territory, My Misguided Quest to Save the World. And you talk about some of the things that were joys to write about and some of the things that were tough to write about. I imagine recounting this story was probably one of the toughest parts of the story to retell.
Yeah, it certainly was. And there were times when I was writing this book when I found myself in tears again. But I knew that I needed to write this book for myself, first of all, because I needed to make sure that I had learned the lessons that God wanted me to learn from this experience. And so that was part of why I did it. Even when it was hard to recall some of these things, I needed to make sure that I had heard what God wanted me to hear from the experience.
The fascinating part of this journey, of course, is captured in the title. I mean, it's a gripping title right from the very beginning, Dangerous Territory, My Misguided Quest to Save the World. As you continued to go through your time there, at what point did you encounter the reality that you believed that your quest was in fact misguided?
Well, I think, first of all, dangerous territory really had several levels of meaning, right? In one sense, I was in dangerous territory because I was in a country where Christianity was forbidden and I was a Christian, right? That's maybe the most literal sense. But I think also I was in dangerous territory because sort of dangerous internal territory, right? Because I believed in myself as this like heroic, mythic, missionary character, off to have adventures in the wild world, right? And that's part of the dangerous territory that I think that kind of connects to the whole missionary myth. We are in dangerous territory when we say that there are two kinds of Christians, the super spiritual and the ordinary Christians. And that's dangerous for missionaries too, because if we in the church talk about them as super spiritual Christians, we don't leave them space to be honest about what they're really experiencing. So I think that was the misguided part of it for me. The misguided part is the part where I thought I was the hero of the story. And I thought that it was all about me being fully committed to God. And what I learned during my second year overseas, I didn't actually make this clear. I was planning to return to the country where I had met Veronica, but the government actually forbid me from reentering after they had found the girls in Bible study and learned that they had received their Bibles from me. So I was barred from returning to that country, and I spent the next year teaching English in a university in Cambodia, which was a lovely experience and a lovely place, but my faith was really in a tailspin at that point, and I was in a bit of a dark night of the soul and just questioning God, why God would let this happen to these young women who really had no support system and had been so passionate for him. So my second year, I think one of the biggest things that I learned was that I had thought my missionary work was about me being fully committed to God. But what God wanted was for me to be fully surrendered to him. Mm. And there's a big difference between commitment and surrender. You know, one of a famous missionary doctor named Helen Rosevear wrote about a verse in the Old Testament that says, the writer says, God, you've hidden me like an arrow in your quiver. And Helen Rosevear, in studying that verse, wonders what that means to be hidden like an arrow in God's quiver. It means that you're not in the bow and you're not being shot. You're not being used. You're hidden away. And I think that being surrendered to God for me meant that I was willing to be hidden away and to be not used. Hmm. Being committed was about, like, I will do all the things. I'll be useful to God. Being surrendered was recognizing that sometimes God might call me to be not useful at all, but to be hidden away.
Wow. Wow, some profound.
I probably say that a lot more eloquently in the book. That's why I'm a writer. But it's hard to take these huge lessons that I learned and make them digestible into sound bites. So I hope people will pick up the book to get a fuller answer there.
Oh, it is very profound. Even verbally, it is very profound stuff, Amy. Amy Peterson.
Oh, thanks.
It's True has been with us. Dangerous Territory is the name of the book, My Misguided Quest to Save the World. And we have about 3 minutes left, and I want to definitely do two things. First of all, where can people go to find the book, Amy? Is there a best place, a best web location or place to start the journey?
Well, it is at Amazon. I think it's on a little bit of a delayed shipment there, but it's on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble. You can buy it from the Hearts and Minds bookstore, which is one of my favorite bookstores, or straight from the publisher, Discovery House.
Perfect. And I must say, I did have the chance to read this from A to Z, and it is tremendous. If you are someone who loves not only a good story, but being challenged in your faith, this is a book that really is for you. I think the last thing that I would just like to ask, because I know this is something that's on your heart, if you could communicate a message specifically to millennials, specifically to young people who may be similar to your scenario, wanting just so passionately to do something for God, what is your message to them today?
You know, I love that question, and I do work with American college students and Christian college students who desire to do big things for God. So I do talk about this a lot. And, you know, the first thing I say is that cross-cultural exchange is far more complicated than I understood when I first moved to Southeast Asia. But that's not a reason not to go. It's a reason to stay longer, to be more curious, to seek partnerships and reciprocal relationships. You know, I also tell them that they should expect that cross-cultural interactions are going to be somewhat shattering to their faith, but that's not a bad thing either, and that rebuilding your faith and your language of faith can be really life-giving. But I think the most important thing that I would say is don't go overseas because you want to achieve or be one of heaven's heroes. Mm. Don't go to save the world. Go because you want to learn to love it and because you know that you are loved.
And she says that she only speaks well in the written word. How about that? Amy Peterson. The book, once again, is called Dangerous Territory. It has been a privilege talking with you today. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Yeah, it was very sweet. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.